Well, the greatest story ever told. I know you know these definitions, but I like to just put our language into context every now and then. Story, an account of incidents or events. A statement regarding the facts pertinent to a situation in question. Could be an anecdote, an amusing one. Sometimes if you're talking to many people in our congregation, you'll get an amusing anecdote. Tell somebody. Now that says to relate in detail or narrate, like such as told the whole story to us. To give utterance, to say, and to make known, divulge, or reveal. Well, here's an important question. It truly is important. How do we share this, the greatest story, to Joe Sixpack? Does he even have a clue what we're talking about? And you know, unfortunately, that is absolutely true today. There are far too many that do not know or have never stepped foot inside a church in the United States of America. And they really do not know the Christmas story. I know for us that's hard to believe. And when I was growing up, I think when I was a young man, still I would have said that literally everybody in the United States knew the Christmas story. And I don't think that was too far off. Of course, that was 50 years ago. But today, that's not the case. And it is amazing. You will hear people tell of young children that have no idea who Jesus is. They don't really understand what Christmas is all about, what the real meaning of Christmas is. And so it is imperative that we as Christians are about sharing this, the greatest story ever told. And I put it this way because our society is getting pretty rude and they don't like to know much about history. And in fact, they want to know foolish, unimportant things shared by people who really didn't do that much in history rather than hear real, true, significant history. And so I put this, and what do a bunch of dead guys have to do with it? It's like we're so foolish, and we think only this generation can know anything, or very modern generations, and yet we are missing a lot of our history as a result. Well, let's look at the dead guys first. I've a tale to tell, a yarn to weave, and it includes people who tell of future events. Prophets, did you catch in the Advent reading this morning? Sheila and Jean's family talked about prophets and kings who would tell things that were far distant in the future. These prophets ranged from kings to shepherds. And yet what they told came true. 10 prophets wrote down their predictions that included the coming of a future king, as was mentioned in the Advent reading this morning. A Messiah that none of them would ever see in their lifetimes. And yet their foretelling of that Messiah was critical. Most of these prophecies occurred 500 to 1,000 years before this future king's birth. By the way, only the Bible does this. Only the Bible of any religion on earth has the truth and the truth about the future before it is known. And that's called prophecy. This kingly Messiah would suffer and die. Yet, the prophet said this kingly Messiah would also rule eternally. Well, how does one suffer and die and yet rule eternally? Only God. Only our great God. This Messiah would be born of a virgin. Now, some people say, well, that's just impossible. Not when God is involved. He would be crucified, yet he would be raised from the dead. So there you see how it was possible for one to suffer and die and yet also rule eternally. Well, you might be saying, well, where in the world is he then? The book that records these prophecies is not in the fantasy science fiction section of your local library. No, it's not. In fact, it's still the greatest selling book ever. Unfortunately, as we have also learned, only 3% of the Christian population, even those who claim to know Christ and those who claim to know the scriptures or to know what Christianity is about, only 3% of them have read this book in its entirety. That is staggering. That's here in the United States. And the book, of course, is the Bible. Well, let's look at some of these old guys. These long-dead old guys didn't always have it so good. The first, a fellow named Moses, which started as a prince of the world's greatest power. He was a prince of Egypt. Well, how in the world does that happen to a young Hebrew child? But it did. He learned, he was adopted, and he stood up for his enslaved people. And because of that, he saw one of his Hebrew brothers being beaten by a slave driver, and he killed the slave driver. Well, he escaped punishment in Egypt. He crossed a desert, and he became a shepherd. So he thought, okay, my dreams of delivering my people are over. They weren't. Only God. 40 years of being a shepherd changed for him. He encountered God and went back to face Pharaoh, his adopted brother, to demand the release of his people. Moses succeeded in having his people released. And he wandered then in the desert for 40 years with those same people before reaching the land promised by God. And then Moses died. Now, most of you know that right after they left and after the parting of the Red Sea and their crossing, Egypt's army was destroyed. And they had the opportunity to enter the promised land. But they complained against God. When the 12 spies came back, 10 gave a bad report. They said, yes, it's a beautiful land, but we can't take it over. There are even giants in the land. And Caleb and Joshua are the only ones that said, no, God is giving us this wonderful land. We can go in and take it. And literally the people, they wanted to, they were going to stone them. And Aaron and Moses interceded, and God stopped it. And, of course, there was a plague that took place. Many, many died. But Moses and Aaron stopped the carnage from continuing. Now, God has said, he said this, and this was from this week's reading, in fact, I, God, will raise up a prophet like you, and he's talking to Moses, from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. Well, there were several prophets, but it culminated in Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet of all and the only Son of the living God. As a prophet, you think having that role in God's system would mean that you might have a pretty good life. Not necessarily. A lot of these prophets had it pretty bad. The prophets were the most unpopular men in their day, for they dealt with the moral and religious conditions of the hour. Generally, conditions were bad. This is according to What the Bible is All About by Dr. Henrietta C. Mears. Well, don't be surprised then when you and I go out to witness on behalf of Jesus Christ, that we may not receive the most welcoming of invitations. These prophets, they also foretold future events, though, which gave the people of their day hope, but they still give us hope to this very day. For a child is born, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. One of those prophets, Isaiah, from his book in the Bible, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Well, has this king come? Interesting thing about Scripture. Yes, he did come. He did die. He did raise again from the dead. And he did ascend to heaven. So where's our hope today? Our hope today is he is coming again. Our hope eternally is the fact that he resurrected from the dead, giving hope to everyone who will accept the provision that his crucifixion provided, which was his shed blood to cover our sins. So everything in God's story has a purpose, has a time, and has great implications for each and every one of us. Well, praise God that this scripture is absolutely true. Jesus Christ is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end when he returns. That is something we're all looking forward to, because our world is filled with war and strife and every type of evil. It seems, especially in our own nation, we have been so privileged to have peace for many, many years. And yet now our culture is falling apart. You don't have to look very far to recognize it. Evil is being called good, another thing that the prophet Isaiah stated. A summary of this one prophet's book, the book of Isaiah. Key teachings about God in Isaiah. God is planning to raise up an ideal king from David's line and to elevate Jerusalem through his reign of peace. I told you that king has been born. That king was crucified, and that king raised from the dead. He is coming again, and at that time there will be fulfillment of this reign of peace. We also learn in the book of Isaiah, God is completely and fully trustworthy. What he says, he will do. God is more powerful than even the greatest empires and armies. I invite you to read along in the scriptures with us. We have just about gotten through the books of the law, and we'll be looking at the other historical books, but we'll be getting into the prophecies of those of the Old Testament, as well as into the epistles of the New Testament. In those books, you will see how powerful God is and how great he is, and that his prophecies do come to pass, and that he is greater, much mightier than any potentate the world has ever seen. Yahweh is God, and there is no other. God has a plan and is capable of accomplishing that plan. God's solutions are often unexpected. They're not what people are looking for. The people of Israel looked and they looked and they waited and they waited for a Messiah to come. And when he came, what happened? Most of them missed it. most of them did not believe that Messiah was Jesus. It didn't matter how many miracles he did. It didn't matter how many people he raised from the dead. They still, and this was the religious leaders in particular, they would not believe that he was the Son of God, although the evidence was overwhelming and clear. And it is recorded in the Gospels. God persists in warning his people even after they have stopped paying attention. Amen? There's still hope out there for your friends and my friends, for your family and for my family. Those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God has not given up. In fact, he delays his return so that more people can be saved. When you are praying for the salvation of a loved one, that is a prayer you can know for certain God wants to answer. So, what about Joe Sixpack? Share the truth from your own life this Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus and his birth, the coming of a Savior that can change your life. It has changed my life, and it can change the lives of everyone. Jesus, who was all those prophets were talking about, he was the one. Historically, Jesus fulfilled 40 messianic prophecies. This is, and we've talked about it before, a mathematical improbability. It's off the charts. It is a miracle. There's no other word for it. And yet he fulfilled all of the messianic prophecies in one man. From all these different prophets, over 1,000-year span. Jesus has changed lives all throughout history, and he has changed mine. God persists in pursuing people even after they have stopped paying attention. God hasn't stopped. There's a theological term called prevenient grace. It's the grace that goes before. God is working with the person you are praying for to prepare them to hear the gospel message. Keep praying for those people and keep looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We do not know what means God will use for that person to hear the gospel. But if it's you, are you ready and are you willing? And are you allowing the Spirit of God to work in your life? But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Well, praise the Lord. Keeping the law is impossible. Praise God that we are not under that burden. And yet, Paul writes in the book of Romans, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to add, in Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That's according to Jesus. So either he was exactly who he said he was, or he was the greatest liar the world has ever seen. And yet many say Jesus was the greatest moral teacher ever. And yet they don't accept him as what he said he was. The only way to God the Father. There's a disconnect there that makes no sense. It's not logical. He has to be who he said he was. Or he cannot be the greatest moral teacher the world has ever seen. Pay attention to these words as we sing. Let's stand together.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. With gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him, the Lord is his name. Fear not to enter his presence in poverty, bearing no gifts to present as your own. Bring truth in its beauty and love in its purity. These are the offerings to lay at his throne.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Draw near to him with faith. He will receive you. In the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, this blood is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."